If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Chuck from Mill Creek is. Chuck, are you there?
Let's go.
I like it.
I like the energy.
Steve, you got to get out of here first, though.
But I still hope you lose.
Ooh.
What?
Fighting words.
Trash
for those playing at
talking.
Home, Chuck has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
This isn't all going to be Aussie-based, is it?
It is not. What does EOD stand for?
End of day.
Yes. What connective tissue's name comes from the Latin word meaning to stretch?
Pass.
What number did Wayne Gretzky wear?
99.
He did. Vincent Fournier is better known by what stage name?
Say it again.
Vincent Fournier is better known by what stage name?
No, pass.
How many states does Idaho share a border with?
4, 5, 6.
5, yes. What instrument is traditionally made from termite-hollowed eucalyptus trees?
Didgeridoo?
Yes. In poker, what do you call 5 cards of the same suit in sequence?
Straight flush.
Yes. What popular children's book did Forrest Gump keep in his briefcase?
Oh, crap. Pass.
What is the main ingredient in tapenade?
Uranus?
No.
Yes.
What Celtic country was the first to ban smoking in bars?
Ireland?
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Correct right there, Chuck.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, that's good. 6 is great. 9 is good, too.
I thought 8 was great.
8 is great.
Oh, okay.
What the hell are you two talking about?
You'll find out. Steve, welcome back. Are you ready?
I believe that I am.
Yeah! What does EOD stand for?
Employees offer D?
No. Oh, my God.
End of days.
Yes. Yes. What connective tissue's name comes from the Latin word meaning to stretch?
Muscle.
No.
Connective tissue. I don't know. Yoga.
No.
Pass.
What number did Wayne Gretzky wear?
Number 99.
He did. Vincent Fournier is better known as what by what stage name?
You just picture your toes and Alice Cooper.
Yes. How many states does Idaho share a border with?
5.
Yes.
What?
What instrument is traditionally made from termite hollowed eucalyptus trees?
Oh, is that?
Yes. In poker, what do you call 5 cards of the same suit in sequence?
Is that a flush? A royal flush?
No.
A straight flush?
Yes. What popular children's book did Forrest Gump keep in his briefcase?
I don't know. Oh, the places we'll go?
No.
Cat in the Hat?
No.
Penthouse Forum?
No. What is the main ingredient in tapenade?
Wow.
Toppenhagen.
No. Wow.
I have Steve, no idea. Fell apart.
Oh my God. You got 6 correct, which is a tie.
Oh, come on.
6-6. Well done, Chuck.
Well, next time, Steve.
Yes,
that's
let's
right.
Do it again.
All right.
Come on.
Neither of you knew that the connective tissue that's name means to stretch is a tendon.
Tendon.
Yep, you're right in there. The popular children's book that Forrest Gump was rolling around with, Curious George.
Steve.
Neither of you knew that the...
Not Penthouse Forum, my bad.
The main ingredient in tapenade is olives.
Yep.
And then one that you did not get to, which Celtic country was the first to ban smoking in bars?
Ireland?
Yes. Congratulations on your tie.
It's crazy to think that there was a time where you could just smoke in bars. Like, it feels like it was not that long ago, but it was a long time ago.
And you would just come home just reeking like, oh, my hair, I got to take a shower.
I used to hate it. I get home and I wake up the next day and I'm like, okay, all of this needs to go in the wash.
Oh,
it just sucks.
The Daily Mix Show.
We have a new feature on the Odyssey app, and it lets you leave us a voice message. Steve, what is happening in there today?
It is all about Ozzy Osbourne. Some really heartfelt messages, some interesting ones, but everybody just wanted to chat about Ozzy on the Odyssey app.
We're going to slide into our VMs after Everlast.
Something got you bent, and now you need to vent, or you did something bad and you need to repent? Well, slide into our VMs.
Yeah, baby, it's time to slide into our VMs.
Yeah, sliding and sliding and sliding.
On the Daily Mix Show.
It is completely free to download the Odyssey app to your smartphone. Then you open up that app and you can leave us a voice message. Steve, what's the situation this morning?
The situation is Ozzy Osbourne. Sadly, we found out yesterday that he passed away. And a lot of rockaholics definitely impacted by it. We're impacted by it as well. And some people went to the Odyssey app to leave a voice message about Ozzy. Are you ready for the first one?
Yes.
We got a bunch.
I'm trying to watch the Mariners game to get my mind off of this Ozzy thing, but I just keep rewatching my mom coming home from the Back to the Beginning show.
That was such a great performance.
Unreal.
I mean, I wouldn't say like it was his best. I'm sure if, you know, artists sometimes get hard on themselves. I bet Ozzy wasn't too happy that his voice wasn't maybe in the best shape that it could be because of all the battling with Parkinson's.
Sure.
And clearly his health wasn't at its best. But I think that's what added to the power of that performance.
You're absolutely right.
Even more powerful now that he's gone. Rest in peace, Ozzy. Great hearing you guys in the men's room on Ryan Castle's show. And I'm looking forward to hearing that Mike Borden interview as well. I know it was inevitable, but wow, I can't believe he's gone.
I think that's the vibe from a lot of people.
I just never had envisioned a world without Ozzy Osbourne in it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, he's going to outlive all of us.
Right. It's like a Keith Richards type of a thing. I think that'll be the next rock star where you're like, man, I know it was bound to happen, but it just felt like he was just cheating death left and right.
For sure.
And you keep seeing like some of like the news reports, and I forget about like the ATV accident, which is kind of like what started him going
his decline.
Yeah, to the point where he couldn't tour anymore because then he had the spine issues. Oh. And then what was it, like about 5 years ago is when he came out and said that he was battling Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And some of the news reports I forgot about, what I thought was really powerful, because at the time nowadays, I mean, every rock star and every celebrity is very, and I think it's good that they're very open about like, hey, my battles with sobriety, my battles with alcoholism, my battles with drug abuse. There was a time where like a lot of people kept that quiet.
Yeah.
And so many news reports I came across brought up the fact that Ozzy was maybe not the first, but one of the first people to freely share his struggles, which I think in a roundabout way that does help people when they're struggling as well.
Absolutely.
All right, here's our next voice message about Ozzy Osbourne.
Hey guys, it's like 1 a.m. and I'm still trying to process this whole Ozzy Osbourne passing. I can't sleep, and I was just thinking about you guys.
It's never a good idea to think about us at 1 a.m.
No. You don't want us in your dreams.
That's a nightmare.
Thinking about how Ryan Castle got to see him live. I fell in love with him, with the Osbournes. That's kind of my generation. Ozzy Osbourne was kind of like our TV dad. And then fell in love with his music. My dad, a massive, massive Ozzy Osbourne fan. How our family cat, we named her Sharon just because we would always just yell, Sharon!
You were totally a product of the Osbournes.
Oh my God.
That was one of the best reality shows.
That was peak reality TV.
Yeah.
Anytime in our house, it's crazy. It's like a piece of our childhood, a piece of our adulthood, my connection with my dad. I got to imagine there's so many people that fell in love with Ozzy and Black Sabbath because of their parents or their brother or sister or whatever it may be, or they're the ones who turned on their kids to the music of Ozzy. Just, I mean, a true, true icon, a legend. May he rest in peace.
Who turned you on to Ozzy?
Gosh, it was probably KISW, honestly.
Oh, just Big Brother the Rock?
Yes, dead serious.
That's funny. For me, it was my brother. Well, he turned me on to Black Sabbath.
Oh, nice.
And then Headbanger's Ball, kind of like KSW, but like Headbanger's Ball is what made me fall in love with Ozzy, because he was kind of like a goofy dude, but then he was so awesome when he performed. Like, it seemed like he was like almost a clown in a sense.
For sure.
Like, he was joking and cracking. I mean, granted, maybe alcohol was a little bit of that part of that, but he was just a fun-loving guy. And then when he was up on stage, he was just he was just a powerhouse.
Absolutely.
All right, we got, let's do one more before we, get out of here.
This might be silly, but just trying to get a smile on my face after all this Ozzy news. I thought it'd be awesome for you guys to debate over which is the best Ozzy song amongst the three of you and try and find some kind of resolution and play one of them. At least one of them. Maybe all of them.
Well, last time we did this, we all got into a fist fight. I don't know if we could do this.
It's really ugly.
Yeah.
Thanks. R.I.P. Ozzy.
I mean, it's tough because there's like, you know, there's your personal favorites, but then there's like quintessential Ozzy.
Right.
You know, so what do you go with?
Man, I have been on a kick because of you of 90s era Ozzy, and I forgot just how great. I wouldn't say this would be my pick, but I mean, was it Osmosis? Is that the record? I can't remember. It's just so good. Obviously, Perry Mason.
Oh, for sure.
And I think there's some good ones. But I think the person who brought up Mom, I'm Coming Home, I don't think we should do the live version. I think we should do the studio version. Because that's when Ozzy, I don't know about you, but like I loved all his rocking songs. But I thought when he did ballads, they were obvious ripoffs of Beatles songs. Like he wore his Beatles influence on his sleeve. And as someone who recognizes the greatness of the Beatles but never was a Beatles fan, I almost enjoyed Ozzy's attempt to write a Beatles song because I always thought they were really good. But they were definitely like, it's clear he loved John Lennon.
Absolutely. He had a level of tenderness that you just wouldn't expect from a guy whose nickname is the Prince of Darkness.
And also, I love the backstory about this because I just learned this recently that Lemmy from Motorhead wrote Mama, I'm Coming Home and gave it to Ozzy. And he would always joke that the most money he ever made in music were songs that he gave to Ozzy, not the songs that he wrote for Motorhead.
Perfect.
Let's do that, then.
Let's do it.
The Daily Mix Show.
Yesterday, it was right after the show that you got a text from Mike Borden. We were going to do an interview and chat with him all about the Ozzy show in Birmingham. And then we found out just after that Ozzy had passed. Yeah. We're going to play that interview at 7:20. Yesterday, Steve Miggs, I saw that you posted on Instagram about how yesterday was probably the most surreal day you've ever had on the radio.
It's up there as one of the more odd ones because in the course of an hour from when our show ended to about 11 in the morning when we caught wind of what happened with Ozzy Osbourne passing away, so much happened. It was like a roller coaster of emotions. So before the Back to the Beginning concert that Black Sabbath did and Ozzy Osbourne, the big farewell show, we were trying to get Mike Borden from Faith No More to join us on the show because he played drums with Ozzy, he toured with Ozzy, and he was performing at the farewell show as well. We have a mutual friend, my buddy Tavis. So I reached out to Tavis. He's like, I'm going to try and make it happen. He wants to do it, but he's super busy. I'm like, don't worry about it. He's like, so Tavis said, I'll give him your number, and if he can do it, he'll reach out to you. I'm like, sure, that's the ultimate never going to happen kiss off, if you ask me, because no rock star is ever going to like just, hey, dude, I hear you want to talk to me. Until yesterday at 10 in the morning when a random text comes on my phone. It's like, hey, this is Mike Borden. I hear you want to talk to me. Sorry I couldn't do it sooner. But let me know what you want to do. And I'm like, if you're free right now, we'll record it right now. Because I know his busy schedule. I didn't want to try and make it work at a certain time. I'm like, we're talking right now. He might be available right now. And we're all in the room. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. So he calls us up. We record the interview. And it's a total Ozzy Osbourne love fest about the experience, playing with him, all that kind of stuff. We finished the interview and we're all glowing. We're like, that was amazing. I can't wait to play it on the radio. But 15 minutes goes by and you're on social media like, dude, I don't know if this is a goof or what, but we should double check. But it looks like Ozzy died.
Oh.
I'm like, what? We just talked to Ozzy's drummer, had no idea. And then now it all of a sudden goes to like, oh my gosh, Ozzy did die. And then I get a text from Mike Borden again and all it says is, oh my God.
Can't believe it.
Right. Like, I'm sure he's thinking the same thing. Like, I just was talking about Ozzy. So this is just one of the more surreal days of roller coaster of emotions from like getting a random text from one of your all-time favorite drummers from one of your all-time favorite bands to then the devastating news of Ozzy Osbourne passing all within an hour. It was just a bonkers day.
It was a lot. And this is our chat with Ozzy's former drummer, Mike Borden.
Good morning. Hello.
How's it going, Mike?
That event, that time was insane. And it actually, to me, being there on the ground, on the deck, it exceeded anything that you could even say about it. It was insane. I mean, rarely do things live up to the hype, let alone, you know, surpass the hype. And this really, truly did. It was really, really special.
I would love to hear like your vibe of when Ozzy did come out and perform, because I think a lot of us, myself included, cannot, you know, goosebumps, tears coming out of our eyes, especially when he was performing Mama, I'm Coming Home. What was it like for you, who's been such a big part of Ozzy's life and played with him? What were you feeling when you were watching Ozzy one last time?
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. You're on point. You're exactly right. And it was, I mean, I cried. I mean, I got to be honest. You know, a lot of people did. I mean, it wasn't just the show. It wasn't just Saturday, July 5th. you know, there was a photo call, I want to say Thursday. I cried that day because Ozzy decided he wanted to sing after the photo shoot. And Metallica checked, and they ran their program, and it was spectacular and awesome. And then Ozzy decided he wanted to sing. So he came, and he doesn't walk so good. Okay, fine. You know, he's got challenges, and that's the way it goes. And he sang some Ozzy stuff and checked that, and that was really overwhelming and incredible and clearly emotional for him to get on deck and actually do that. Then he played with Sabbath, and time stopped for me. I think the first song it was of their set was War Pigs. And as soon as that starts, I'm 10 years old again. I'm 11 years old. Yeah. I'm watching. Yeah, they start with War Pigs. And I'm 10 years old. I'm 11, whatever. It's 1974. And I'm April 6th, 1974, Friday night, and I'm sitting in my grandmother's apartment in Los Angeles, and I'm watching Channel 7, and it's in concert, and it's California Jam. And there they are, and they're playing War Pigs, you know, on California Jam. And I look at this thing that I knew what they sounded like because I'd had some of their records before, but I'd never seen what they look like. There was nothing ever after that for me. There's no question of what I'm going to do. What's the coolest thing I've ever seen? You know, who's the coolest cat I've ever seen? There they are on stage, you know, in California Jam. And so when they play that song, and I'm just kind of standing there in front of the stage, there's nobody there. And yeah, I cried, man. I got to be honest. It brought me back to that point of like, this is why I do what I do. This is why I have the life that I've had. You know, this is why. And it was overwhelming. You know, it was super powerful. The last thing I say about it is for me, for my generation, for people like me, watching Black Sabbath at California Jam was exactly the same thing as Bill or Tony or Terry or Ozzy watching the Beatles or Elvis on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah. We're chatting with Mike Bourne, drummer from Faith No More, and also played drums with Ozzy. And Mike, I have to ask you, I mean, because that's a song, War Pigs, and I could be wrong, and maybe I'm just paraphrasing things, but is that not the song that first turned Ozzy onto you as a drummer when your performance of War Pigs with Faith No More?
Yeah, highly likely. Highly likely. I think...
That's crazy to think like that's the song, and then that's the song that also maybe got you connected with him, and here you are. I can understand why that's so emotional and so powerful.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It all ties together. You know, how deeply you choose to look at it, there's connections there that you can find. You know, did he hear War Pigs first? I'm guessing probably not, because at that time, Ozzy was, you know, air quotes, retired. Uh-huh. And he was sitting at home, you know, by all accounts, drinking tea and watching a lot of TV. Which is why he wrote that song, Perry Mason, I think, because he's watching Perry Mason, believe it or not. Or so the mythology goes. But I think he saw Epic on MTV like everybody else did, you know? And that maybe got his curiosity or whatever. And then, yeah, and then on the album, sure, on Real Thing, no doubt he heard War Pigs because we talked about that when we first met. So, yeah, it's all connected in there somewhere, you know? I mean... We also, when we first met, we had a really good connection because, you know, one of my very dear friends who died, Cliff Burton, he was on tour with Ozzy, you know?
Yeah.
The last U.S. tour Cliff did was with Ozzy, and Ozzy, you know, Metallica made a super, super, super deep imprint on Ozzy, and they clearly left a mark, you know, when they toured with him. And so, you know, he was aware of Cliff, he met him, he hung out. You know, and then he passed. So, you know, a lot of different connections like that. Like I say, the further deep you choose to dive, you know, the more you're probably going to find, you know, when you spend your life doing this. You know, a lot of connections.
The Daily Migs Show.
We will be sharing more of our interview with Ozzy's former drummer, Mike Bourdon, after Black Sabbath, War Pigs. If you are just joining us, we are playing back an interview we recorded yesterday with Ozzy's former drummer, Mike Bourdon. And that interview wrapped just moments before we learned about Ozzy's passing. Mike, I believe you performed on The Ultimate Sin, Shot in the Dark, and Sweet Leaf. Out of curiosity, did you get to put in, you know, like your song requests, or did everybody just kind of like receive their songs? How did that process work?
Yeah, that was a bit of a long and winding road. My set list actually changed a couple times. I was super fired up to play with the legendary and fabulous Jakey Lee. You know, that was really wonderful for me. A lot of full circle moments. I mean, I think that that's kind of maybe what this show represented for a lot of people, I think, personally and professionally, was like a full circle moment. You know, like Sabbath kind of started it, or Ozzy started it for them, and to be able to kind of come and bring that home, you know, and put that to bed, you know, with a lot of sort of what, like the Viking burial concept, you know, where you go out with a blaze of glory, with honor and dignity and, you know, and respect. I think it represented that for a lot of people. You got to say something about Nuno, because Nuno, Nuno, I think he ended up doing 12 songs.
I feel like he was the MVP, man. Like, he was so much fun to see up there. He was fantastic.
He was fantastic. Everybody knows he's a ripping player. He's a pretty handsome dude and all that. But, you know, he really, I mean, he carried a lot of weight. I mean, I believe he went on the plane thinking he was going to do 3 songs like most of us. By the time I was at rehearsal with him on Wednesday, we got one rehearsal, he was up to 12 songs. That's tough. That's a lot of weight to carry. So, I mean, you know, shout out to him, respect to him. Nuno stays, and we have Scott Ian come out, and we do Sweetly's. So that was my 3rd song, and clearly a song that I've grown up on and known. I don't even know, did we play that in 97 when I was lucky enough to sit in and do the Sabbath dates? I don't remember if we did Sweetly's or not, but certainly it's a song I know very well and very comfortable with, and that was fine. It was an honor. It was a gift. It was something I'm very proud of, and hope I did my bit, because it was about the big boss. It's about his legacy. You know, it's about him and what he's given to us. It's about Sabbath. You know, to me, the best to ever do it. Sabbath, and looking at that show and looking at the people that were there, they influenced at least 3 generations of musicians. Mm-hmm. And there's not many bands you can say that about. Think about, you know, the great Steve Tyler and Ronnie Wood were there to you know, show their respect. But there was also, you know, guys like, you know, Jerry and Sean and Alice in Chains. But then there was also younger generation, whether it was Travis Barker or Lizzie Hale. And then what about that dude Youngblood?
Oh, my goodness. What a performance.
What about that dude? Yeah, right. What about that dude Youngblood that probably nobody saw coming? I mean, I don't mind saying I'm not so up on it. I had no idea who, where, what, why, whatever. But you sure know now, don't you?
Interesting amount of love he had for Ozzy. I mean, I know the video was surfacing of him with the gift that he gave to Ozzy with the cross. And
absolutely.
And then the performance itself was just mind-blowing.
So that's what I'm saying. Is that 4 generations now? I don't know. But it just, the impact is profound. The impact is, you just can't overstate it. To be able to be part of, you know, I don't know, living wake, is that too strong of a word to say? You know, to honor the man, you know, while he's still above ground and you know, and doing his thing, to be able to honor the man for what he's, you know, given to all of us is special.
We're chatting with drummer Mike Bourne, who played with Faith No More and also with Ozzy, and we're talking all about the big Ozzy Black Sabbath farewell show. The whole thing was just powerful. It was such a fun watch as a fan, and I couldn't even imagine as the musicians how special it had been to be on stage with all that.
That's a monumental accomplishment. To get everybody to play nice for charity, I mean, what was it, $190 million for charity or something? I mean, you know, all of these different things, whatever way you choose to look at it, I mean, there's so many things that are just like, wow. And, you know, she put this together. I mean, Sharon, you know, this is a tribute about Ozzy, and this is a tribute about Sabbath. And do not understate Sabbath, you know, because they're also the star of the show. I mean, you know, respect to them. They deserve to, you know, get some flowers for it.
Absolutely.
And Mike, thank you so much for sharing your experience. I my whole body feels warm and fuzzy, and I'm like, I'm glowing because I can hear it in your voice, and it's emotional. And so thank you for taking us on that journey.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. I mean, look, Woodstock, Monterey Pop, Live Aid, if you're in rock and metal, you know, what can you put on that list besides this? I don't know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know? I mean, it seems to me that it's on that level, you know? It just seems to me that it's worthy of being remembered like that, and especially at a charity event. I mean, don't forget that, you know? It's like, nobody made any money on this, you know? But they raised a couple hundred million bucks for charity. I mean, that's not a small number either. It was really a special day, and everybody kind of felt that. So, you know, to be honored to be part of it, yeah, absolutely. 100%, what an honor.
Mike Warden, thank you again so much for the time, for giving us your story. And we really hope to see you in Seattle again sometime soon. So let us know next time you're in the PNW.
Thank you. I love it dearly, and I love the people dearly. I have lots of friends there, as you know, lots of history. And I can only hope, man. I can only hope. So thanks for having me, and take care. All the best.
The Daily Mix Show. The
Daily Mix Show.
How would you like to beat Steve this morning? And maybe you were tuned into the men's room yesterday at 5:40 to get three of the correct answers to the upcoming game. That could be helpful. 206-803-ROCK is the number to call if you would like to play Beat Migs at 7:50.